Well, I think Aaron managed to get through that okay. We couldn't fill the tank as full as usual today, obviously, because you know, he is a bit vertically challenged, but he's got, the only thing I forgot to do is pull the plug out. That's what I had to come up and do a wee second ago, just so we can get cleared up at the end. But I counted them in, I counted them out, and no one is lost. And that was great. So it was really great. Great service, great to have you with us if you're visiting, as we share with these young folk in as they go through baptism and share their faith with us. I want to just explain a bit about what we mean by baptism. We're doing this a bit back to front. When we have our service in the evening, we normally explain a bit more about baptism at the start. But we wanted the children to be in. We like the children to be in to see what's happening. And so it's too long to get them to sit through a sermon as well. So let me just speak about for a few minutes about baptism. What it is that we believe in, and what are we doing when we're here in a baptism service? There are two extremes that we have to avoid in regard to baptism. One is an overemphasis on its importance. It's possible to overemphasize the importance of baptism. There are some who teach, some churches indeed, which teach that baptism is a means of salvation. It is by being baptized that you become a Christian, that you enter the church, that baptism itself makes you a Christian almost. And that's an overemphasis on baptism. Sometimes you'll hear of a very sick baby or baby being born very, very, very sick, and there's a rush to baptize that little one at all costs, as if salvation depends on it, whereas we believe that a little baby who hasn't had the opportunity to hear the gospel, we can entrust to God's care. And the other extreme is to have an underemphasis on the importance of baptism, where people say, well, faith in Jesus is what matters. I'm a Christian. I've become a Christian. I know I've been saved. Really, does baptism matter all that much? Does it really matter if I'm baptized or if I'm not? I'm a Christian. Isn't that what matters? What difference does being baptized make? So we can have an overemphasis on baptism or an underemphasis, where people think it's too important or it places little importance on it. And I just want to think for a few moments today about baptism, what we actually believe and what Scripture teaches us. And let me read from Acts. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2. The verses are up there on the screen. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. And then I'm going to skip on down to verse 36 and read down to verse 41. This is Peter speaking to a big group of people, mainly Jewish people, just after Pentecost. And here's what he says, verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And I'm skipping over to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's pray together as we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service that we've been able to share in of baptism today, and thank you that we're following a pattern which goes right back to the earliest days of the Christian church. And we pray that you'll help us to understand as we think together for a few moments this morning about the importance of this command of Jesus that we should be baptized as his followers. Help us to understand and speak to each one of us in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the early church, things were more simple in a way. The pattern was very simple. Someone came to faith in Jesus from whatever background, whether they were from a Jewish background who hadn't recognized Jesus as the Messiah and then came to recognize him, whether they were from a Gentile background and knew nothing of the Old Testament and the law. Someone came to faith, they were converted, they became Christians, they were baptized, and they joined the local church. And we know the situation, of course, where we have people here, even sitting here, lots of people from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different churches, backgrounds, denominations, people who may have become Christians at some time in your life. Maybe you can think back to when you became a Christian, but we've all sorts of different backgrounds in respect to baptism. Some may have been baptized as infants or christened, as some people would say, and have no memory of it at all. There are, the complication is that different churches have different practices, different churches have different traditions. The Roman Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church and so on will have different traditions of baptizing infants or adults and so on. And I'm not here this morning to try and find fault or to offend anyone from another tradition, simply to explain what it is that we believe in the Baptist Church. This is the pattern that we follow, and I want to explain why we do that. I know that others, if you were to speak to Noble McNeely from the Presbyterian Church up the road, he could explain to you why they baptize infants the way they do. So this is simply what we believe we can take from Scripture this morning, just to explain what we do. And I want to just give three simple points, or make three simple points, things that we believe about baptism this morning. Can you help me out there? We'll have to sort of see clickers not working. Baptism, first of all, is a symbol of identification. It's a symbol of identification. There are many symbols that identify someone with a particular group or organization or whatever. You may wear a lapel badge or a football or rugby shirt, or you may wear a uniform for a particular school or the police or whatever. That says something about you. People can look at that and it gives you an identity. People can say, oh, yes, there's someone who supports such and such a team or whatever. You can identify with that particular group. To be baptized is to identify publicly with the people of God. To identify publicly, to say publicly, I am a Christian, I'm a believer. You might wear, as a Christian, a cross. Some people wear a cross or a necklace of a cross or a little fish badge or whatever. Those are signs of identification. But the way that Jesus said that we were to identify ourselves as followers of his was by being baptized. That's why Jesus, when he just before he returned to heaven, he said to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, of people everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. When someone becomes a disciple, that someone decides to follow me, then baptize them. That's how they publicly declare their faith. That's how they identify themselves as a believer in Jesus. You see, baptism doesn't make someone a Christian. It's a symbol or a sign of what has already happened. It's a confirmation of what has already happened, that someone has acknowledged their need of forgiveness and has repented. We just read there in Acts, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. The repentance has to come first. It's turning to God in faith, acknowledging our sin and asking for his forgiveness and deciding to follow Jesus. That's the first step. And baptism is a sign of that. Paul said, writing to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Becoming a Christian is literally a fresh start. It's literally a fresh start. The slate is wiped clean. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused, thinking this was a human birth Jesus was talking about. But Jesus was saying, you need to start again. You need to turn to God, have your sins forgiven, and then you'll be starting again afresh, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And baptism represents that. It symbolizes that in a very special way, that as someone is baptized, it's as if they're being buried, the old self is being buried, and they're rising to new life with Christ. A picture of what has already happened in their lives. Here's what Paul said, writing to the Romans. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Jesus died and was buried or put in a tomb and then restored to life. And baptism symbolizes that. It symbolizes dying to our old lives, dying to our old selves, and being raised to life with Christ. Not that that happens during this service, but it's a picture of what has happened to those young folk who are baptized today, that they have died to themselves, that the old self is gone, that they've been born again as Christians, as believers, as children of God. And baptism also symbolizes washing or cleansing. You imagine the water there. We use water in a shower or a bath to cleanse ourselves. Not that the water there is special or cleanses us from sin in any way, but it's a picture again of what Jesus has done. Here's what Paul says again, writing to the Corinthians. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. when we come to faith, it's as though we were washed clean. The sin is washed away. Not that that happens at baptism, but it's a picture of what has happened to us. And baptism doesn't imply that we become perfect. These young folk, as they go out to school and out to their friends, they need our help, they need our prayers as they go. Because baptism doesn't mean that suddenly all our sinfulness is gone and our sinful nature is gone and the desires that affect us are gone. Jesus, as he was speaking to the disciples before return to heaven, he said, "Go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded." These people had to obey. Jesus said to the disciples, teach these new converts what it is to be a Christian, what it means to live out that new life. And we need to be praying for these young folk. Being baptized doesn't mean that suddenly that they're free from temptation. Doesn't mean that they'll be free from failure or Satan's attacks. It's a sign of what has happened, and they now need our prayers as they go out to live out their Christian faith in their different situations. They need the help of the Holy Spirit. They need the help of the Holy Spirit to live for Christ. That's what Peter said, just as we read a moment ago, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repentance brings forgiveness, brings the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need his help to live for him. Secondly, then, baptism is a sign of obedience. Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize us. He said, go into all the world, and when people become Christians, baptize them. It's a public declaration of faith. It's being identified as a follower of Jesus. Peter carried out Jesus' instructions exactly here. He went and he spoke to people. He explained to them. Some of these people were maybe in Jerusalem a few days earlier shouting, "Crucify him." Some of these people may have been in the mob as Jesus was dragged off to be crucified. And they come and they realize what has happened. And we read there, when the people heard what Peter had explained to them by Jesus, they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What must we do? What must we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, acknowledge where you've been wrong, acknowledge your sinfulness, and be baptized as a sign that you're going to start again." And they carried out that instruction exactly. And that day, 3,000, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was a long service, especially if they sang the verse of their favorite psalm, maybe after it. That was a long service. 3,000 were added. People realized that they needed to repent and turn to God in forgiveness. They accepted the message, verse 41. They accepted the message. Those who accepted the message accepted that Jesus was Lord. Then they were baptized. The change of heart comes first. God changes our hearts. We recognize our need of forgiveness. We turn to him in faith and repentance. And then we are baptized in obedience to him as a sign of that. It's a command of Jesus. Jesus only really gave us two commands. One was to be baptized as a sign of wanting to follow him, our decision to follow him. And the second was that we remember his death in the Lord's Supper, as we'll do in a few moments in our service. Those are really the two ordinances, or some churches call them sacraments. Those are really the only two things that Jesus told us to do. Lots of other things we do as Christians, we do in our churches. We have lots of different traditions. But those are the two things Jesus said to do. He said, when you repent of your sin, be baptized, nail your colours to the mast, show that you're one of my followers, and then remember with other believers week by week my death for you. So baptism is a sign of obedience. These young people today have obeyed Jesus' command. They've turned to him and they've accepted the truth of the gospel, and they've repented and believed and been baptized. And then thirdly and finally, baptism gives a sense of assurance. When Jesus himself was baptized, Jesus was baptized not because he had sin to wash away, but he was baptized to show that he was obedient to God's will. And after he was baptized, as he came out of the water, he heard God saying to him, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." He heard God's voice of assurance. He was reassured as he began his ministry. This was Jesus about to begin his public ministry. He was reassured that he was doing what God had sent him to do. He felt God's pleasure immediately after he was baptized. He heard the voice of God audibly speaking to him. And while baptism isn't magical in itself, and say it's not that people are cleansed of sin by being baptized, it is a very special event. And I think anyone here who's been baptized will be able to look back to the day they were baptized and say, "I remember that. It was a very special day when I stood up in front of the church and acknowledged that I'm a follower of Jesus. And many people would say that they feel God's presence in a really special way. They come out with a sort of a glow of feeling God's presence in their lives in a very, very special way. So those young folk today will probably feel that. They'll probably feel that they've really stood up and declared their faith, and God will have given them that sense of assurance. Maybe not an audible voice the way Jesus heard, but will give them a real sense of assurance that they are his and that they have committed their lives to him and that he will never let them go. Just a wee word of caution here, particularly to those three young folk who have been baptized today. Immediately after Jesus was baptized, immediately after he began his ministry, and Satan tempted him really severely. Satan tempted him to give up, tried to derail his ministry, tried to distract him from the path that he had chosen. Jesus came and ultimately knew that he was going to the cross to die for us. Satan tried to give him all sorts of gimmicks and tricks to do things differently. And he had to stand up to that. That was immediately after he was baptized and he heard God's voice and he knew that he was doing God's will. Satan had a go at him. In baptism, we really nail our colours to the mast. We really stand up and say, I'm part of God's family. I'm taking my stand as a Christian. And Satan will do all he can, particularly those three young folk, will do all he can to discourage, will do all he can to question. You may face opposition, you may face attack in all sorts of ways over the next days and weeks. You may hear Satan's voice. When the first time you do something wrong, you get into a row with somebody, you'll hear Satan saying, "Ah, yes, you're the big baptized Christian, aren't you? What's happened to you now?" Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He loves to condemn. He loves to try and condemn and to catch us out. He did that to Jesus, and he'll do it to you, and he'll do it to all of us. However long it is since you've been baptized, Satan will never, ever give up. He sometimes waits to the moment when we're feeling weak or vulnerable or something's happened that has upset us in our lives, and that's when he attacks us. And a colleague up in Sullivan there, he's just recently joined the Church of Ireland, a church up in Kim McGrath, just joined up with Gareth to serve in the church. They're a great, great guy. And he used to say, Satan fights dirty. He kicks you when you're down. Something happens in your life, just getting you down, just some ordinary thing. It can be anything. It can be an exam failed or something gone wrong. And that's when Satan gets at you. He never says, "Oh, so-and-so is having a hard time, I'll ease up." Satan will attack you at any time. And after you have stood up publicly and confessed Jesus, that's the very time Satan may have a go at you. Resist him. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, because he's defeated, but he will still do his very best. He can be sneaky. He waits his moment. Peter says, the devil prowls like a lion, ready to pounce at the right moment. Just ready to pounce, just waiting for that moment to get you. Find that chink in your armour. Resist him. Stand up to him. And with God's help, you will go on and live and witness for the Lord Jesus all of your lives. And that's true for each of us. Each of us who has become a Christian, who has committed our lives to serving God, have got to resist the devil, because he will never, ever give up on trying to spoil what is happening in our lives and what we can do in the lives of others. So there's what we believe about baptism. It's a symbol of identification. Identification with Jesus in his death. Identification with the church, saying, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not afraid to declare that. It's a sign of obedience, because Jesus said that when we come to faith, we should be baptized as a sign of our Christian commitment, as a sign we've come to faith. And it gives us a real sense of assurance. Not that I say that it's a magical act in itself, but it gives us a sense of assurance that we have been obedient to Jesus and that God is with us, that his Holy Spirit is with us and in us, dwelling in us to help us. If you'd like to know a bit more about following Jesus, maybe you're here this morning and you think, well, this is all very well, but I'm not even sure how to repent. I'm not sure what that means. What does it mean to repent? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, any of us are happy to speak to you at the end of the service, speak to Aaron, speak to me, or we're going to begin a short course we have. It's called Christianity Explored. We run this, most years we run it at some point. It's going to be in 4 Monday evenings, beginning on the 21st. That's not tomorrow, but tomorrow week. It'll run for 4 Monday evenings. It's about an hour and a bit each evening. And it simply explains what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It does what it says in the box, Christianity Explored. If you'd be interested in coming along to that, then you're welcome. I'll mention again next week. It'll be at 8 o'clock on Monday, beginning on Monday the 21st. It'll run for the 4 Mondays in a row. If you want to just find out what it is to be a Christian, that's a very simple way to find out. It's not threatening. You don't have to pray out loud, or you'll not be asked to answer anything out loud or whatever. It's simply a way of finding out what it is to be a Christian. And if you are a Christian today and you'd like to know more about baptism, maybe you've seen this service. After a baptismal service, there's almost always someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm thinking maybe I'd like to be baptized myself. If you'd like to find out a bit more, we don't have particular set times for baptisms. Just as there are a few people who want to be baptized, then we will easily arrange another service like this. Perhaps it was a bit difficult, I suppose, in the summer when everyone starts to be away, but we can certainly have another service in the autumn. If you're interested in baptism, come along, speak to me or speak to Aaron, and we'll be happy to explain what we believe about baptism and to help you think if that's a step that you should be taking. We're going to sing again now, and then we're going to obey Jesus' other command and remember his death in the way that he has told us to as we come to God's table. So the musicians are going to come and lead us again as we sing, and then I'll explain a wee bit about what we're doing in communion, and we'll celebrate communion together.